Welcome to Bengals Scribe Session, presented by JosephOtto.com and Inquirer Sports. Here, your Bengals beat writers escort you inside the walls of Paul Brown Stadium to hear the news, analysis, and observations unfolding within the team from those documenting it daily. All with the sidecar of snark and absurdity you've come to expect. Let's go. We're about to start a party in here. He's big, strong, play guitar in here. Looks like we got a good crowd in here. Turn it up, pretend and get lively.
Ball's
go!
Out.
Ball's the ball out. Is out.
Ball's
the Bengals
out.
Have scooped
Ball's
it up.
Out.
Terrence
yeah.
Newman running back
yeah.
to the 30,
yeah.
20,
yeah.
10,
yeah.
5.
Yeah.
Touchdown. It is knocked up in the air.
Oh,
AJ Green makes the catch.
Oh man!
A deflected ball winds up in the hands of AJ Green as the clock hits zero.
It's about to get rowdy here, but if you want to fight, get out of here. We about to tear off the roof from here.
All right, welcome to the latest edition of our Cincinnati Inquirer Sports Bengals podcast that we're trying to rename and don't have a new name for yet.
Not yet.
It's really a work. It's a work in progress. Paul the Engineer, Jim Osarski here with you. Your Bengals beat writers. We need a new name.
Yeah, I don't know. The Twitterverse hasn't been very good in the last week, has it?
No. Well, I tell you, it's
why
funny.
Can't they be creative for us?
We need yes. If you're listening, see, here was the problem. We asked for people to help with our new name last week at the end of the podcast.
That's true.
Like, let's be honest. We love all of you. We know that a lot of you are just not hanging around at minute 58. And that's okay. I got no problem with that. But if you have an idea for a new name for our podcast, the artist formerly known as Scribe Session. Session is looks like it's going behind the woodshed. I don't think it worked.
No.
Didn't resonate with enough people. We need a new branding. We're a new team.
Right.
We need to shake it up. So if you have an idea, fire it to us. I have to tell you, one of my favorite followers that we have, our boy Joe Vogel, thinks his recommendation was Inquirer Sports presents Both Bald Beat Writers Bengals Coverage Podcast. You down with 4BC? There's only one problem with that, and you might take some exception to this. You have a good. You have a very solid hair situation.
I do. I willfully keep it really short, which much to the chagrin of many former colleagues who had to remove their hair on purpose or because they had to.
Listen, it's okay. You don't have to dance around it,
right? So I'm.
Let's be honest. Some of us just this is an issue that we deal with,
right?
So. You know what? I'm okay with it. I'm confident. In the fact that I'm bald, I got no problem with it. I embrace it. You know, bald is beautiful. Bald is the new hair. I keep telling everybody this. It's hot right now. Everyone wants to be bald. You're just not.
No, it's just really short. You know, but I get it. You know, 4BC I'm cool with, but to lengthen it out to that way, it's a little tongue twistery and
it is.
Yeah,
we. Something simple, but something that you can acronym possibly.
Right.
You know, we're taking all offers, so shoot it to us on Twitter. You all should know where that is by now, I hope. So fire it over to us at Paul Danner Jr. at Jim Osarski, and maybe you will be the one. If you come up with the name for our podcast, we will be very nice to you.
Yes.
And give you, I cannot validate that we will be able to give you a prize. I don't know if we have prizes.
Right.
Or that I have to check with legal first. But I can tell you that we'll definitely shout you out on the podcast.
That we could do.
If that means anything to you.
Right.
But if you come up with a name that we choose, there will be many fabulous, not prizes necessarily, but definitely respect.
And, yes.
And what else is there in the world, to be honest with you, than respect?
Not much.
Not much?
Well, Twitter shout-out can trump a little bit of respect.
Yeah.
I think.
Oh, definitely Twitter shout-out.
Yeah.
I mean, that's definitely happening. So fire us whatever you got. We need to rename this baby. So I think here's what we're thinking today. It's dead season. It's we're we're in the draft is over. We've got between now. I did the unfortunate look. It's like 4 months to opening day.
Yeah,
I mean, it's are. Like,
yeah, just a hair under 4 months.
We are not close.
No.
No. Training camp isn't that far off, and it'll hop on us, I'm sure, faster than we like to think. And the training camp will open, I think, July 28th or 30th. I'm not sure. Right, it's that Thursday, the last Thursday in July. But that's still a ways off. So there's about three rounds of OTAs in a mini camp, I believe. Off the top of my head, I'm not 100% sure. But you've got some OTAs, you got the mini camp, that's really about it.
Right.
Not a lot of news is going to come out of it. We're pretty much just – the Bengals are just sitting there hoping no one gets hurt. So what are we going to talk about when there's not a whole lot going on? I think I ask myself this every morning when I wake up. Here's what is interesting and what is starting to bubble up a little bit. And that is it's about to be extension negotiation season.
Right.
So we've got – if you include Kevin Zeitler and Dre Kirkpatrick, who had their fifth-year options given to them, the Bengals have, of their projected starters, 12 of 22 are basically in their contract years. And we've talked a lot about that topic. But here's the exercise. Here's what we must do. Our task, and this is completely behind-the-scenes stuff here, we have never had this conversation yet. The two of us.
Right.
Like, actually going through it and deciding that we want to rank who we would do, why they should.
Right.
So we got to set the ground rules. This is if we were Katie and Troy and Mike, if we were the brain trust, the family, and we were making the calls on who was going to get an extension of these 12, how we would rank them, in what order we would consider them. Because this is a list that they have to have on file right now.
Like, right.
They've had this, they've hashed this out because that's their order that they have to go through. And that plays into it. I mean, you it's not just about talent. It's not just about age. It's about you can only do some before others. You know, AJ Green comes into that conversation where when it's such a huge nugget, you've got to get it out of the way or whatever it is. So you, our loyal podcast listeners, are about to hear the first rough draft conversation debate of how we would rank 1 through 12, these players. Can you handle that?
Well, I don't know if they can. But, you know, it's how many mock drafts did you do?
Oh.
So this is like mock extension
rank
draft 1.0.
Extension draft 1.0. That's exactly what this is. I like that. It's our extension mock extension list 1.0. We're off to a great start. So, all right. So, and then later also, I want to make sure you know, so if you do want to stick around to minute 58, later on, we both went out to the Marvin Lewis Community Fund golf tournament.
We did. At Shaker Run.
At Shaker Run. Shout out Lebanon in the house. We went way out there. Almost got stuck.
Yes.
Almost couldn't leave, stuck in the mud and behind a giant curb. You were actually out doing the hard work, pushing the car.
Yes, I pushed the SUV that my partner got stuck.
I did get it stuck. That was absolutely on me.
So, you know,
I take full responsibility.
If you know, you want to name the podcast and it starts with GOAT, the G-O-A-T acronym, you know, we know who's running that right now.
Yeah, you are the GOAT. You are definitely the morning MVP.
Right.
Or else we would, you know, we would have had a long day out at Shaker Run. So we went out there, and anyway, while I was out there, there were a ton of former Bengals in play. I mean, it was a long list. Current players, there was about five or six, but I had a long conversation with Anthony Munoz talking about offensive line play and being a rookie tackle with kind of off the Cedric Ogbuehi, Eric Fisher thing. It was an interesting conversation. Always great to hear from Anthony. And with, you know, he's, you know, there's only one Bengals Hall of Famer.
Right.
There's one. That's the guy. So it was just such a good conversation. I won't share the whole thing with you guys. So We're going to move. I'm going to post that up later with Anthony just talking about the Bengals and offensive line play and football and everything. It's very, very interesting. So look out for that. But first, our first ever mock extension draft 1.0.
Right.
So let's do this. Here's the names I got. All right. Here's who we have on the Bengals. I'm counting as our 12. A.J. Green, Drake Kirkpatrick, Kevin Zeitler, Marvin Jones, Mohamed Sanu, Adam Jones, Reggie Nelson, George Iloka, Leon Hall, Andrew Whitworth, Andre Smith, Emmanuel Lemieux. We got to start at one. I can't work backwards. My brain's not that strong. We need to start at one. And I think we talked right before we started. The only thing we said was, you said, well, I assume our one will be pretty easy and off.
Yeah.
I don't know that it's that easy. And obviously, A.J. Green is the number one candidate. I think they view him as the number one extension candidate. But here's the thing. You've got a couple. Look at how other teams have handled. There's four guys, and more behind-the-curtain stuff. I'm going to be writing a long story about A.J. Green, how much it will cost, the extension issue with him, because it's an interesting one. He doesn't have to do anything, you know? He can cruise through this year. If he shattered his knee into 14 different places, once he rehabbed, he would still sign somewhere and get a big contract.
Right.
Because he's A.J. Green, and he's one of the most talented athletes in the league. But you can franchise him next year. He's already making 10.2. He's not going broke. And he's going to get his money at some point, somewhere, somehow. So he doesn't have to come back to the Bengals. And the argument has been made a long time about paying receivers. And so you have Julio Jones, Demaryius Thomas, Dez Bryant, A.J. Green. Now, the two that were up earlier, the last two I mentioned there, when you're talking about Bryant and Thomas, were tagged. Because they couldn't come to an agreement. Because no one knows what the market is. No one knows this receiver market. They know they don't want to pay Calvin Johnson money. No one wants to pay what Calvin Johnson's making. You know, 100 and whatever he is, 119. I mean, just silly money. They want it to be more around Mike Wallace money, which even a lot of people, and I've heard rumblings throughout the Bengals organization, that people look at that Mike Wallace contract and say, you got to be crazy. And they are, and it's right, but you know, it's not a slam dunk to me, if you're looking at this group, that he's number one.
Well, to me, it is a slam dunk because he's the best player in the group. First.
Yeah, that's a good place to start.
He's the best player.
That's fair.
And, you know, look, no position in football is on an island. So part of this, too, is there's a cap number. It's a bigger cap number, especially with the bonus. You know, how do you play it out? Well, then this also ties in your quarterback situation, which we talked about on last week's podcast, and the way they structured Andy Dalton's contract. And, you know, all of a sudden maybe you're in a year, 2 years quarterback change or whatever it may be, or that needs to be, you know, Andy Dalton blows up and deserves more money out of his own. So I think it's all cut, but I guess where I'm going with that, Paul, is AJ, I don't know, AJ is so good, and you look at the running back situation, which, you know, you want to talk about receivers can be replaceable, running backs are replaceable. That's the area where you go on the cheap for your skill. You look at this tight end class where they just drafted two tight ends who are looked to be developmental, rookie wage type guys. You look along the offensive line, we're going to get into this too, young rookie wage type guys. You look along this line, there, you want to talk about big nugget, there's a big nugget for A.J. Green and potentially Andy Dalton, where, let's face it, you look around the league, even in division with Joe Flacco, Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers, when that QB or that other guy, you know, there's two, maybe three you can pay. And then you need that sort of low salary talent. And So all of that wraps into why I think AJ is number one, and they view him as number one because you look around the rest of the roster and some of these other guys we're about to talk about that they'll probably let walk out the door. We'll set it up for that, I guess.
Yeah.
So that's why I think AJ is a slam dunk one to get that done.
The only thing that I argue on the other side is if there were teams everywhere that with the top receivers, if these teams, these five or six guys that are amongst the elite that AJ's a part of that group, if they were out winning championships every year, I would say pay the man. You got to have it. I don't know that that's true. Now, with their style of offense where they want to pound you and run the ball and have the big play threat, you know, teams cannot stack the box when 18 is out there.
Right.
They can't. Because if you leave single coverage and no safety, one safety over the top, they're going to play action and throw it up to A.J. Green and let it go get it. And I could complete some passes. You know, I mean, throw it up and he'll just make the play. So in that respect, it makes sense. But, you know, how many playoff wins does Calvin Johnson have? 0.0. The same number that A.J. Green has. A.J. Green has had four shots to go win a playoff game with Andy Dalton as his quarterback, which is the other part of the argument.
Right.
But Calvin Johnson's had Matt Stafford, and they had a great defense, and they still haven't won a playoff game. You know, they went once.
Right.
They haven't won.
Although people in Detroit, I'm sure, feel they won that game against Dallas last year. That's a whole other thing. I get what you're saying, and you know, coming from, you know, covering a team where they didn't really value receivers, Randall Cobb finally got paid.
If you've got a great quarterback,
but
you don't have to
value right. Receivers. But it's you know, we'll get into this list, but again, it's just because of who's on this list,
mm-hmm.
and some of the factors involved. Like I said, he's your best player,
yeah.
on offense,
on maybe all of it,
right? And I mean, it's one of those things where you don't, if you can help it, you don't let that guy leave. Especially yeah. it's football, where again the money's all kind of play pretend money after the bonus and maybe the first year or two. Mm-hmm. So I just think it's too, he's too good, and too important to, as you just said. You know,
but if he walks in that door asking for Calvin Johnson money, Mike Brown is going to tell him to walk right back out.
Yeah,
because
there's
no reason, because they'll tag him. You know, they have if they need to tag him, like what happened with Dez Bryant and what happened to Demaryius Thomas, and pay him $13 million for 1 year. So be it. And they could even do it again if they wanted to, and it would be more.
So but in that point, though, Paul, then why not just extend them? Because if they're going to willing to tag them for $25 million guaranteed,
yeah.
hello, guaranteed for 2 years doing the tag, why not then just give them a $25 million signing bonus prorated over eight? That, like, at that point, if you're going to say, we'll just tag you,
mm-hmm.
then, because that's guaranteed money, why not just do it then?
AJ Green is not going to sign a contract until the market is set. That right. would be my concern if you're the Bengals. So if you know that, and maybe they can get something done before the other three do. Maybe they do. I don't know. I mean, crazier things have happened. They have, and it worked out. You can look at the Geno Atkins deal as a prime example. He signed before Gerald McCoy and before Ndamukong Suh, and the Bengals got the most value not even close. If you look at what they paid, 5 years, $55 million for him, compared to look what Ndamukong Suh just made,
right.
and look what Gerald McCoy made, which was Gerald McCoy made about $14 million per year. Geno at like 11. And they all, you know, outside of the injury issue, I mean, but at the time, you're talking about the three best players at their position in football.
Right.
So, I mean, if they could beat the market, they could, in theory, get a value deal, because whoever of those four signs first, the others are going to start there. You know, they're all right. going to say that they're going to want to top each other. So maybe it's in AJ and his people's best interest to say, you know what, go ahead, tag us. We're going to let the market set next year, and then we're going to, that's going to be our floor of negotiation. We're not going to set the floor. You know, we want to get the most. So if you know that, do you maybe start looking at, did you put your time and energy into other people? We saw a couple years back, Michael Johnson and Carlos Dunlap both had the contracts coming up. And we used to, myself and our former beat writer Joe Reedy, referred to it as contract Thunderdome. Two men enters, one man leaves. Here's the money. Here's what we're going to give to one of you two. They started with Mike. Mike said it wasn't enough for him. And so the second those negotiations broke off, Carlos Dunlap signed a contract for that exact amount. So is this similar thing where they say, we have this money that we're going to give to some of our extension people. We're going to start there. And if you don't want it, we're going to start giving it to other people. And don't, you better believe that tactic's going to be trotted out.
Right.
So I'm just saying, if you know that, then maybe you need to start elsewhere. But you're right. If you're ranking the list, dude, we've wasted 15 minutes talking about this, but he's the best player.
Right.
And that's really probably, that's really the most important thing. You have to start there. You have to rank him one. So AJ Green won. I'll give you that, even though I think there's a lot of conversation to be had about whether they'll be able to get one done or the other. But so let's go in along those lines. So what's two? So where do you go next? I think I could make a pretty good argument that you could get a great value deal for Marvin Jones, who has not proven himself over a full season. He's had injuries, but what you have seen of him is a number one receiver type talent, a red zone master, and a great complement to our number one here. Now, that being said, it would be great. Marvin Jones, I'm sure, would love to have some guaranteed cash laying around. But if he goes and has the year they think he's going to have, he would get Randall Cobb money.
Right.
I mean, more than that, maybe. So maybe I would go, I might go Marvin Jones too, because of the value that you could get from, that you could get with him.
That's definitely a solid and sound thought when you're talking about extensions and, you know, when these teams map out the cap, it almost does. It looks like an Excel spreadsheet, you know, with cap numbers and what guys go against it and where they can slot money. And, if you can get a potential 1,000-yard receiver, 8 to 10 touchdown guy for, below market value, I get that. I think for me, the second one would be at safety and George Iloka. I think that, yep. It's funny because I'm going to use the you can get a receiver argument against Marvin Jones, even though I wouldn't use it because I think AJ Green is just that elite.
You can't get an AJ Green,
right?
Anywhere.
So
you can
I think
another Marvin Jones.
And I think George, when you look at that defensive backfield and how important, that back end is when it's making call, whatever it may be. He's proven himself. You know what you have. I don't know, offhand what the safety market is. I don't know who the highest paid safety in football is, to be honest, but it's a position where I think you can lock a guy up who you
safeties
like.
Safeties are making bank. Look at this last free agency season, and you saw some safeties come off quick.
Yeah.
There's a lot of money out there.
And you know what? Guys like him are in demand. The safety spot, that's kind of why you looked even in the draft where teams were, what do we do here? Can we get a corner who can maybe play safety? Especially with the five wide offenses and, I don't know. I just think that Iloka is an important one, and for me he would be two.
Yeah.
Just because it fit, there's a need, I guess, to have someone locked in back there who's proven.
Yeah.
Bottom line.
And in the, in the way the league is played now, you've got teams in three safety formations that are, you're just extra DBs out there all the time. And the skill set that he brings is a rare one, and that's his ability to cover and prevent the deep. This team was as good as any in football the last couple of years at not allowing plays over their head, and he's the number one reason why. He's been a great coverage guy. He has anticipated. He's picked balls off last year. Of course, the first year he had the hand injury, so he dropped a bunch. But, you know, he has been a huge part of this defense that does not get anywhere near enough credit. I definitely think that you're looking at Iloka and definitely in your top three. Whether I probably would approach him first, but I would want to get more. I think that there's just so much to be gained at getting a great below market deal for Marvin Jones. It's the baseball theory. It's right. Like the Rays getting Evan Longoria when he first came up to a 7-year deal, and now it's the best contract in baseball.
Right.
You know, you get them. If you get them just ahead, you can get great value. And I think it would behoove both sides. Marvin Jones could bet on himself and say, I'm going to go have a great year and you're going to end up paying me a lot of money. But easier said than done, especially at the receiver position.
Yeah, and I don't. And you know what's funny about that is you know you talk about the market being set because of what you said earlier. Only those top five guys are getting paid.
Yeah,
you know you look down the list at what you would consider top pass catching options. Antonio Brown is not going to get the money he want. Randall Cobb did not get the money he thought he was going to get.
Yeah.
Jordy Nelson signed sort of that early, you mentioned baseball contract a few years ago, Pro Bowl wide receiver, did not get, you know, he extended, but you would expect someone who catches 90 passes to get paid X amount of dollars. So Marvin Jones, I think you can get the value, but that's why I put a premium on Iloka. And that's why I think I would have Jones third, almost as in like, you know, get the value, but you know, I think he's far more signable even if he hits the open market.
Yeah.
Because there's so many top guys, and then he kind of, even if he has another great red zone year, proves he's 100% healthy, has a big touchdown number, you know. I don't know, especially if another wide receiver class is coming out in the draft. It's, I don't know, the game has changed a little bit for those guys who are not elite.
Right. If you're not in that top five.
Right, and I don't know if he's that guy.
Yeah, I don't so, either. I hear that. The other thing is, they didn't draft anybody at receiver, really. I mean, Mario Alford, if you want to count him, 7th-round pick. I mean, we thought that there would be a second or a third rounder that would be in here as basically the heir apparent in case both Mohamed Sanu and Marvin Jones both walked or whatever,
right.
who could step in and take over that role as a third wide receiver. Well, they didn't take anybody, and I think that was a vote of confidence to Marvin Jones and Mohamed Sanu, and we talked about this a couple podcasts ago, the Digesting the Draft podcast, about what that mean that the chance of both of them re-signing just went up big time by them not drafting receiver. And that goes even more into maybe you just make sure because there aren't a lot of answers behind him.
No.
We saw what happened last year when he went down and then when AJ Green got banged up and you didn't have the cupboard was bare, you know? So I will hear your argument about Iloka. I will make Iloka too, but I think that it's really close, and I would make Marvin Jones three, just because I think that there's too many benefits on both sides to get Marvin Jones done. I think after that, and what we've seen from this team, and it's been apparent, it's a Hugh Jackson deal. Boy, is they're going to run the ball, and they're going to dedicate a lot of time, energy, and draft picks and money to doing it. That's why I think Kevin Zeitler would be my four. I might even move Zeitler up ahead of Marvin Jones, maybe, because here's why. When he's been healthy, and he's, you know, for the most part been pretty healthy, he's been dinged up the last couple of years, but he's played the majority of games. He has started to play at a Pro Bowl level, and he cares about it, boy. He cares. And, I mean, he cares about being the best, and he cares about working out and have being the strongest dude in football, and he has been a beast when he's been out there. And power running, this guy's the face of it for this team, and he's young, and he's a key part of what they want to do. And more importantly, they just gave him his fifth-year option, which is a monster number for a guard,
right?
Because it's classified as offensive line. So the fifth-year option number for him was is the average of the 3rd through 25th, whatever.
It's over $8 million. It's more than Drake Kirkpatrick.
Yes. Over $8 million for a guard.
He is right now today the highest paid guard in the National Football League.
He is.
For 2015.
For 16.
16, yes, I'm sorry.
If you're looking at 16 for the option, because of the way it's set. So you're basically paying him tackle money.
Right.
You don't want that. You don't want that him to be under the fifth-year option. And they've been very – I mean, every time we've talked with the people in charge of those decisions, we've gotten the feeling that they think it's ludicrous. And it is kind of ludicrous.
Right.
Like, why would you not separate centers and guards and tackles? You know, I don't – just like you separate tight ends and receivers, and there's this huge – you know, they go to court over whether Jimmy Graham's a receiver. But you have – a center or a guard makes the same as these left tackles when their money is so different.
Right.
It doesn't make any sense. That's why it makes a ton of sense for them to just get him done and do it now.
Yeah.
And not have to worry about the option year or any of that.
I think that all of those things move him up to that list for me as well. And the reason he's not maybe higher is because they did pick up the option and there's not that maybe pressing need immediately going forward. You know, he's I'm sure wants to get a deal and all that stuff, but all of those things that you said, it is interesting though, because we're going to talk about a few more of these guys on the outside, and Andrew Whitworth and Andre Smith, but they did draft a couple guys
that can play guard.
Mm-hmm. There's a thought, or there was a thought before, Andrew Whitworth kind of talked about his contract issues, that maybe they kind of shift things down the line where mm-hmm. Andrew Whitworth moves inside and kind of guys move and someone else takes over the center role, mm-hmm. I don't know. I think the Bengals, in terms of wanting to manage their situation and have leverage or have options, have given themselves that in a lot of these scenarios. But I think I think you're right. Zeitler kind of stands out to me, along with Iloka, as a guy that, I think it behooves them to want to keep that guy. This whole draft and develop, we're going to pay. And at some Marvin Lewis said before the draft, like a couple years ago, we were faced with this situation and we paid some guys.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, we're ready to do it again.
Yeah.
So while he's not the one making those decisions, like clearly some of these guys are staying. I think you're right. I think Kevin Zeitler, they probably feel better extending now as opposed to a Dre Kirkpatrick.
Yeah.
And we'll get to my thoughts on, I don't know where you're going to have Dre, but he's put it this way. It's going to take a little while for me to get to his name.
Really?
On this list. So, but I will agree with you that Zeitler, not ahead of Jones, just because it's not as urgent, but right there, definitely a top five.
Yeah, I mean, the way they drafted this year takes a little bit of pressure off of that, like you said. But he's definitely a big part of what they do. I would put him in at four, and I would sit there. From that point forward, I think there's a pretty decent drop off after that. Would you agree? If you look at this list, I feel like that's a... To me, I feel like those are a pretty clear four that it is in the best interest of all to get an extension. Not that they wouldn't sign these other guys,
right?
They aren't as important, but to do an extension, to get it done now would be important.
Yeah, I think
there's a drop off.
No, this. There is. I think most of the news interesting to me. You mentioned the two man Thunderdome thing.
Mm-hmm.
I can see, and granted, it's different skill sets and people inside and out have their opinions on the upside or what's left. But I could see, a situation where they go to one of those wideouts early. Like, hey, what do you think?
And if you don't take it, we're paying the other guy.
Right. And I could, hey, you never know. But some guys just want to feel valued and you know, they're smart and they feel, okay, hey, this is appropriate and I'll just take it. So I don't know. I guess Mo is a little further up the list just for that reason alone for me. Mm-hmm. Again, kind of like you said, it's not that it's more important than another position or whatever, but I think it's a reason he could fall into a reasonable space where it's like, let's talk to them, as opposed to maybe some of these other guys mm-hmm. where it's like, you know what, we'll just let you ride it out.
I don't know that I'm buying Mo Sanu stock yet. I mean, you saw last year was his year that he needed to be the guy. And for a long period of time, you know, when AJ Green was hurt and Marvin Jones obviously not playing, I mean, he was the guy and he was carrying the torch. And he had some games where he, in some plays, where he was looking like AJ Green out there. I mean, he was phenomenal. But as the year went along and as he had more and more drops, you know, he really scuffled down the stretch. And you saw a lack of confidence, to be honest, from the quarterback. It made you wonder after some of these games, is Dalton purposely not throwing to Mohamed Sanu because he wasn't getting any receptions, you know, and it wasn't a trust thing. You had to wonder. I think he's one of those guys that they'll just negotiate with during the free agency period next year and rather than extend. Now, just because I feel like, you know, the drops are an issue.
Yeah.
You can't lead the league in drops and expect to get money.
It's one of those things where I guess I wouldn't put him over anyone, but on the other hand, I could just see, hey, what do you think about this? And then, sure.
Yeah,
and all of a sudden there's a 3-year deal at a certain number, and it's like, wow.
But so can't you do that makes sense? Year? But can't you do that next March? I mean,
I think if you wait to that point, you make your decision. You're moving on. Yeah. I don't know. So I guess it depends how they really feel about him, and if the dropsies were just the, you know, because I mean I've seen guys get over that. I mean, you can work on that and get better. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I guess that's it. Mo falls. It's a weird thing. It's like it's a total maybe and then a no, if that makes sense. Where it's like here and then no. Okay, then we'll draft the fourth rounder, who's essentially the same guy at a rookie level.
I would definitely have. Now, you mentioned that you will take a while to get to Drake Kirkpatrick, and I feel the opposite of that. I think my five would be Dre, to me, because and we get back to this same topic. If you're talking, you're not talking about eventually keeping him. You're talking about an extension, and it falls into the Marvin Jones category of you can get great value on Dre Kirkpatrick. You're taking a chance, but if he is as good as he has been in what they've seen of him, and it's almost a small sample size situation, and if he has the breakout year this year, you saw what some of these corners are making. I mean, Byron Maxwell just got rich. He got generational, like family money.
Right.
Okay, that's like taking care of all the neighborhood. Okay, money. If Dre Kirkpatrick does that, he might play his way out of your price range that you're comfortable with, if you're the Bengals.
And I
don't think that's something that they're interested in. They drafted those guys, Darquez Denard and Dre Kirkpatrick, to be the top two corners for 5 to 10 years, just like they did with Jonathan Joseph and Leon Hall back in 2006-07. And they want them to hold that spot down through their prime years. And you could do that at a serious value if you inked him now, if you bought Dre Kirkpatrick. And I think they're buying. I think that they believe he's going to be a great corner.
Yeah, there's a couple reasons why he's a little lower for me. And when I say a little, I mean, you know, one or two spots here. Mm-hmm. It's because in the same Zeitler fashion, it's not immediate.
Yeah.
Also,
you would pay him. You would You're okay with his fifth-year option.
I'm more than okay with his fifth-year option. And to be honest, yes, they may be buying. Yes, they drafted him high to do this. To me, it is about actual production. And the guy hasn't played. Mm-hmm. He hasn't played enough. And, yeah, you flash. And guy, he's ready to take a spot. He's ready to be
they
a guy.
Did this with Carlos Dunlap. He hadn't quite gone to the level they wanted him to do yet, but they believed in it enough that they were willing to pay him 6 years, $40 million.
The problem with the corner, though, is if you're wrong and you pay that guy, Larry Brown, Dallas Cowboys, Oakland Raiders. I mean, and that's the first one that comes to mind. I know that was a long time ago for the young folks out there, but if you miss at that position, at that money, that's a bad look. And especially because it's not immediate. You can let this year happen knowing you have the 7.5 net in 16. That's, for me, that's the qualifier. I think if he was a totally up and you had to make a choice, I think he would be higher on the list. But because you have him at 7.5, and then you want to talk about tags, so you're talking about like a $12 million tag in 2 years.
Yeah.
That's to me why Dre isn't – that's actually why he would be – and this back to the George Iloka thing. I think trying to get a value deal for Reggie Nelson, even at his age, put – I know it sounds strange maybe, but again, you're talking about two guys back there who don't get a lot of love, who – you look at the depth chart, you know, Deron Smith was drafted in the sixth round. They feel good about him, but there's a reason he was in the sixth round.
Mm-hmm.
They like him. They keep kind of mentioning Josh Shaw can play a little safety.
They love Sean Williams.
And I get that. But again, it's one of those things where it's like, are you ready for that? You know? Yeah. And here's the thing. And it's all tied together, because if George Iloka doesn't get the extension, they can't make it work. Well, all of a sudden, Reggie Nelson, maybe we do need that 2 year deal.
Mm-hmm.
Because Sean Williams is now going to be the other unproven guy back there.
Mm-hmm.
It's all related, I guess. So for me, I'm really going with immediate need, you know, going in the year or two. And I think Dre, I do agree with you. I think they are buying. I think they want him here.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they've given themselves a little bit of a window to say, you know what, let's look at some of this other stuff first and see how that goes. So I guess that's why I'm playing it this way, not necessarily.
And along these lines that you're talking about here, I mean, we're talking about a drop-off after your top. There's no reason to – 5 through 12 are irrelevant how we rank them, because they ain't going to get one.
Right.
Because they're only going to be able to do so many.
Many, right.
I mean, they'll do 3 or 4 maybe at the most. I mean, I can't. I'm trying to think, but the most I've seen them do, I think, would probably be the year that they did Whitworth and Leon Hall.
It's typically 11. This is my first go around here on the beat with you, Paul, but just from some back research, you're right. It is only a couple.
I'd say maybe two or three. Two or three, probably.
And look, Leon Hall told you, we wrote about Cincinnati.com. You know, Leon said, we all know we're not all coming back. And you know, the bottom of that list is Adam Jones and Leon Hall and Andre Smith and Andrew Whitworth. Unfortunately,
I might put Adam Jones in my top, that would be in consideration to talk about. And because he's done. He continues to do well. He is a little older, and he's the type that he's probably pretty antsy about it. We were joking on Sunday at the golf tournament.
Right,
we're out there and they're doing these. One of these where everybody that's playing goes and does a closest to the pin while everyone's circling around. Marvin introduces everybody. And how exactly did it go again? Because got called up there. This is a good story.
Yeah, so Marvin Lewis was emceeing. The closest to the pin of all of the celebrities, meaning, you know, the Anthony Munoz, the current players, former players, front office types, and so Adam gets called up and Marvin is introducing him and, you know, number one draft pick, former Tennessee Titan, all this stuff. And, you know, you're Cincinnati Bengals corner. And Adam said, I'm not going anywhere. And you know, so Marvin got a good laugh out of that because, you know, Marvin doesn't really make those decisions. Yeah. And but, you know, he's Adam's kind of putting it out there. He wants to be back.
Didn't Marvin say Adam keeps telling me he wants a new contract?
Yeah. Yeah. Adam keeps telling me he wants a new contract, even though he knows I'm not.
I don't make those decisions.
Right.
And Katie and Troy were there somewhere. I don't know if they were there at that time. But, yeah, I mean, Adam is the type. He's become a, you know, like it or not, he has become a core part of the leadership group, and they love rewarding those types.
So here's a question with
he's
Adam.
He's just older.
Well, exactly. So here's the thing. He will return kicks. He'll be that guy if needed.
Right.
Doesn't really want to do it.
Because the real money is in being
right.
the corner.
So
he's
he
not
wants
Devin
to get paid. Sure. However, he is on the wrong side of the birthday of the birth certificate for that position. True. You look at Dre Kirkpatrick, you look at who's back there, it's like, what can you pay a guy who is maybe a nickel? Maybe a guy who's...
Adam Jones has been pretty darn good. I would argue he was their best corner last year.
And that's
year.
Totally fine. But you know what?
But for
when
how
you're,
long?
When you're out there and you're at that age, there are only so many Daryl Greens and there's only so many Charles Woodsons. And the reason we say those names is because they are the outliers.
Yeah.
Those are Hall of Famers, league all-timers.
Yeah.
You know, Adam Jones is a nice player, but he's not that guy.
Yeah.
So I, you know, so that's the thing with Adam is,
but he adds value because of
sure.
his return ability,
but
as well,
if they go to him for an extension and say, look, we're going to pay you because you're going to be our nickel guy. You're going to be
underpaid right now for what he did last year, which the contracts don't work that way.
Exactly.
But he's underpaid.
And so he may not be interested in the extension terms if the Bengals bring one to him, because let's face it,
I think you just
said about Dre, you know, what about Dre? You know, like if you're going to pay him, well, guess what? And let's say Adam has another great year and that's great. And then now he's all 31, 32, 33 and Darquez is ready to go, you know, and Josh Shaw may be flat and he's ready to go. What you can't pay three corners. Especially one who's like on
look
the wrong side
done
of 30.
Around here, though. They've had five first-round corners last year.
But you're
year.
Not paying them all that money.
No.
You're not paying
you have
them.
Two young ones.
Right.
Yeah.
So I guess that's for me.
But they were they're paying three of them. I mean, they were paying Leon big money. They paid Terrence. Well, Terrence Newman was a bargain. But yeah, I hear you. I hear what you're saying. I just feel like he's become more valuable to the locker room. He's great with the young trouble kids. You know, he's been the don't follow my path guy. He is the guy when they have a guy who they bring in who's young and who maybe might step out of bounds in the way that Adam did when he was Pac-Man. He's the one now to straighten him back up. I know that's crazy for anyone to think about, but it is. It's the way it is, and that's a big value, and they love rewarding value like that. And he's underpaid, and he's doing a lot for this team, and he cares about being here, as we've heard a million times. So I think it would be, and he is the type that you just want to keep happy. I think he's emotional, as you know. You know, I mean, anybody that deals knows he's an emotional, wears it on his sleeve type of guy. I might give him some cash to make everything good, you know?
Well, I guess if he'd be willing to accept a certain level of cash to be good, you know what I mean? And you're right, Paul. But when you said
talking a huge extension.
Yeah, once we pass Dre, and in my opinion, Reggie Nelson, you know, you're getting to the bottom half of this list. Mm-hmm. So that means likelihood is small, and
talk,
the money
and talk about it next year,
right? And the money's potentially small because let's face it, you know. You mentioned about letting Mo Sanu go to free agency and then coming back. I mean, Adam could be in the same boat.
Yeah.
You know, where you're, you know, maybe you float something by him and he says, no, you know, I'm going to roll on myself here. And you know, so that's kind of where I fall there. I mean, above some of these other guys, sure, he kind of slots right into that middle of the, you know.
The interesting, just to run through some of the other names, we don't need to rank all the way down. Andre Smith, not mentioned. Andrew Whitworth, not mentioned. I think we feel that the writing is probably on the wall with Whitworth after everything that happened last week. And Andre Smith. I mean, those draft picks, I think, seal your fate a bit. You know, I mean, you definitely aren't extending him.
No.
Not when you just drafted two guys that can be tackles. No. You're definitely letting this year play out and see where you're at when it's done. But, I mean, you know, he's a guy who, if you'd have told me that before this draft, I'd have thought he would have been in the conversation maybe. The trust level has clearly gone down with him. That was made apparent. Leon Hall, age, he needs to prove it first.
Right.
You wouldn't put Emmanuel Lemieux, you know.
The only thing about Emmanuel that's interesting to me.
He's got to prove it.
He's got to prove it. You look at that linebacking core and you're just, we were hoping to get to Vontaze Burfict. He did show up looking the part at Marvin's charity golf event.
Yes.
Looked fantastic. Looked like a pro golfer, although on the Instagram, the Marvin Lewis Community Fund's Instagram, he doesn't swing like a golfer, but who knows? As long as it goes far and straight, right? But
did you see that photo? The ball is in the air almost above his head, and he's in his backswing.
Well, you know.
I couldn't believe
that. I'm trying to give Vontaze a little love here, right?
Well, we don't know. Listen,
but
do you remember on Hard Knocks they went golfing with Vontaze, and the one I don't know if they picked the worst shot on purpose.
They probably did.
Though what they showed was not.
You know
pretty.
What, Paul? It's all about loving the game.
Is it?
It is. And looking good. And he was looking good with the white pants.
White pants.
But the thing with Emmanuel that I find interesting, and again, this veers off because you're not going to extend Emmanuel.
No.
But what makes him interesting to me, at least this year, is how healthy is Vontaze. AJ Hawk is here to be that veteran backup guy. You really don't want AJ playing a ton.
Right.
You know, Vinny Ray is a good player. You know, so here's a guy who starts, plays a lot. I know, you know, just speaking with him when he came out to watch the rookies play, I mean, he's feeling really good. Physically, he thinks, you know, he'll be able to do some things in this defense that maybe we haven't seen. So, you know, it's one of the, you don't extend that guy, but he's an interesting watch for me this year.
Yeah.
Just definitely. Because of some of these other factors of depth and injury and that type of thing where, like, some dude you never thought of, you know, some tryout guy, all of a sudden, you know, gets like that 4-year kind of like low level deal. And all of a sudden he's like that core, like glue guy almost.
He could.
If that makes sense.
If he plays well, I mean, he will make himself a lot of money.
Right.
He's got a lot of, I mean, if you talk guys that I could see not getting a dime.
Oh yeah.
Or making big money. He's it's a big year for him. And like it is for any guy that gets a restricted free agent too. I mean, you know, there's a lot of money on the line for him. Well, I think we kind of did it. So I don't know if we agreed on all of it. We were close.
We were close, kind of flip flop here or there.
AJ as one. I gave you Iloka as two. Three. It's like a 3-4. Marvin Jones and Kevin Zeitler. I think, and then the drop off. And you get to Kirkpatrick, Adam Jones in that area, and then everybody else. But three extensions would probably be two or three.
Yeah,
I don't see it going any more than that.
No.
So you take your pick out of those guys. But you can't, and like we said, but you really can't do anything until you get AJ Green figured out, because that will take the most amount of cash.
Right. And that's the other thing about AJ that doesn't really account for the other guys. You mentioned how not drafting a wide receiver helps the prospects of Marvin Jones and Moe Sanu. Well, you may find an elite receiver in the fifth, sixth round if you get lucky, and you know, Antonio Brown, one of these guys. There's a reason he was picked when he was.
Mm-hmm.
And when all those other guys were too, first rounders, right? So here's the thing. If you're going to let AJ kind of walk down the line, you're looking at your Excel down. I mean, all of a sudden now you're drafting a guy who's going to get paid, or you're going to have to sign guys. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So you're right. AJ complicates so much.
Yeah.
Because if you keep him, there's a certain number that you're thinking. And then if you're going to let him go, or if, let's say you're going to, you know, $10 million this year, okay, we'll tag him for 12. Like, even if that's guaranteed money that now you have to, like, well, that guaranteed tag now affects Drake Kirkpatrick coming up in 2 years. But right. You know what I mean? So this is all related. It's kind of what makes doing this sort of fun.
Yeah.
Because you're trying to wrap your head around, like, how does a receiver affect a corner? Mm-hmm. But it kind of does, because your top corners get paid like top receivers in terms of guaranteed money.
And you better believe Ben Dogger, AJ's agent, comes to the table and says, you're not paying me a dime less than Andy Dalton's making, because I'm making his money for him. You're right. It gets really, really complicated. Everybody kind of affects everybody. Well, I promised everybody, I want to bring in our Anthony Munoz interview. So I'm gonna bring in this Anthony Munoz interview. It's just talking about being a rookie tackle, him coming through injury his year, offensive line play, things like that. So, and then we'll come back and we'll wrap this show up. So here, I want to bring in, here's my conversation with Bengals Hall of Famer, only member of the Hall of Fame to play for Cincinnati Bengals, Anthony Munoz.
I was thinking about it. I was like, you know what? A first-round tackle with supposedly an injury history sounds familiar to me. Was that, is that all something? Right. Do you see those parallels of, like, a guy like Obwehi, who people only knock on him is really, well, he's been hurt. You're like, this sounds familiar to you?
You know, it does. You know, the good thing for me, when did he get hurt and how long?
He got hurt in the last game.
So he played the entire season. So that's the difference. I got hurt in the first game.
Yeah.
So I had surgery and I rehabbed and I played in the bowl game.
Yeah.
So even though, and it is similar, he had all year to play. Mm-hmm. He probably played for 4 years. I only played two.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, it's, you hear that and you just kind of chuckle because, you know, nobody gave me a chance. One game my senior year, missed the whole season. But, you know, all he can do is just, and I hear he's a hard worker, is just rehab and get back to his form and get ready. So, you know, you're going to have that. It doesn't matter if you're first pick of the draft or a seventh round, you're going to hear the naysayers. You're going to hear people that are doubting you, and especially when you've been through surgery. Man, you know, if I had a dollar for everyone that said you can't make it, I wouldn't have to play because I could have probably invested that and been okay. But, it is similar. When I heard about it, I wasn't sure when he got hurt, but I knew he was coming off the ACL.
Yeah.
I just said, you know, I know he's a hard worker.
Yeah.
So just work hard, get back. And not that you have to use that as an incentive, but keep that in the back of your mind.
Yeah.
You know, people are saying, you know, can he or can he not? So.
Yeah,
you know, I'm excited to see. I know he's very talented. And I'm excited to see what he does once he gets healthy.
What's the when you're a young tackle in this league? What is the hardest thing to? What's the biggest thing in their progression that they have to figure out quickly that changes it for them?
Well, there's several, but I think the main thing is quick memory loss.
Yeah.
I mean, when you get beat, forget about it.
Yeah.
You see, because you might be physically talented and have it, but if it lingers in your mind, that's going to mess everything, because it's going to mess your sets up. It's going to mess your whole attitude. So, sure, I mean, you know the competition's going to be much better, but it's just the whole mental part of the game. Trusting and then trusting after a mistake.
Yeah.
That's the key thing. You know, it's just like, but I just did this and it didn't work. Well, go back to it. Know that. And again, the self-awareness. No, and as a young guy, it's tough. But you got to know, what did I do in order to get beat?
Yeah.
And then with that position, you got to be able to self-aware and correct it.
Yeah.
So, but then correct it and then trust it. So it's just the memory loss and then trust the next play.
Yeah.
I'd say is the big thing for a young tackle.
Yeah. Yeah. You keep up with it. How different is the league now? It's such a passing league. The left tackle position is there's so many these speed rushers off the edges are it's like a whole different breed. I mean,
definitely a different breed, probably faster, but you know, as far back as I can remember, the best pass rusher was always, you know, Derek Thomas, Bruce Smith. I mean, but you know, it's funny, people say it's a spread out, pass the ball, but look at the teams that have won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
They still can pound you with the run, and it's very important to be, even when the Saints won it. What did he throw, 5,000 yards maybe, close to it?
Right.
But that offensive line, to me, was one of the best I've seen in a while, being able to put their hand down and not just run the ball, but knock you off the ball.
Yeah.
So as much as you can talk about spreading it out, you know, I think each – top wide receiver, if he doesn't have 100 catches, something's wrong.
Yeah.
If a quarterback doesn't throw for over 4,000 yards at least, something's wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
The way
yeah.
the rules have been tailored. Yeah. But it is. But still, when it comes down to winning games, mm-hmm. look at our Bengals, what they did in San Diego during the regular season, mm-hmm. and then what happened in the playoff game.
It was
I remember
online.
They threw 31 times in the fourth quarter, didn't mm-hmm. they?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah.
they literally pounded them to submission out in San Diego.
Yeah.
Where was that?
Right, you know? Exactly.
So, as, yeah, as much, and I love wide open, I love pass blocking, but I also believe you got you better be able to put your hand down the ground and come off.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the great thing about offensive linemen is when you see guys that have that ability, that to me is what is impressive in today's game.
You can't beat – maybe this is the first time he's been on the podcast, so only Hall of Famer. Unless – are you in any high school Hall of Fames or anything like that? Did your high school – they
no.
did they hang your pen up? Or
no, I'm in the What If Hall of Fame. I started blowing my knees when I was a junior.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm in my own Hall of Fame.
You are, right?
Right. And as of right and as of right now, I'm in the car pushing Daner out of the Mud Pit Hall of Fame. So.
Goat. Goat.
So I got to take what I can get.
But I mean, it's been a while since someone has pushed my car to safety, and you, although barely safety,
barely,
it was. Quick, but yeah, you know, you're definitely in the shaker run. You're the shaker run goat for sure. So good times. I guess we got to figure out a song to go out, and we're talking about there's a lot of money talk.
Yeah,
it's got to be a good money song out.
Oh, totally.
ODB.
Yeah.
Maybe I got your money.
Yeah,
go a little, maybe, I think we go. We go with a little of that, yeah. You know.
I like that one.
It is a good one.
Yeah,
it is a good one. And it's old, a little old school. Yeah. You find that one on 102.3 The Beat, my station. By the way, love 102.3. You just found out about it. You just found
which
out
is
about
almost.
It today.
I feel bad for them because your team is the Jaguars. So I, you know,
yeah, that's unfortunate.
That's not. I don't know if
they're the Jacksonville Jaguars of Cincinnati.
I don't know if anyone wants their endorsement.
Hot, they're up and coming. You got to reckon. Hey, you will be laughing real hard when they're in the playoffs this year. Blake Bortles is going to get it together. God, they made me eat so much crow last year. I really thought they were going to be better. But if Bortles comes out and has a good sophomore year, takes the big step, boom, Jags, Gus Bradley. Playing the Bengals in the first round.
You're on your own
I'm
with
on
that,
my
one.
That one. I'm on, you heard it here first, though. Just know that you heard it here first. Just like you heard it here first last year that the Jags were going to make the playoffs. So, anyway, thanks for joining us. Remember, send us your show, your podcast name ideas, and know that Jim is not bald. He has very nice hair. So you can't really go referencing my own baldness. It's just kind of an insult to me. But anyway, so we'll go out and a little ODB. A little, hey, Dirty Baby, I got your money, you know? So we'll go out with that, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yo, you better give me that money. Video. Oh, dirty on the hat, and I let you all know. Just dance if you're caught up in the Holy Ghost trance. If you stop, I'ma put them killer ants in your pants. I'm the ODB, as you can see. FBI, don't you be watching me. I don't want no problems, cause I put you down in the ground where you cannot be found. I'm just Dirt Dog trying to make some money. So give me my streaks and give me my honey. Radios play this all day, every day. Recognize I'm a fool and you love me. None of you know, better look at me funny. You know my name, now give me my money.
Hey,
sing it.